first psalm in book 4. In Psalm 90, we go all the way back to Moses, the man of God. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And it's amazing to me, you know, the Word of God is always amazing to me when we really study it. But one of the things we'll see very clearly from Psalm 90 is that nothing ever changes, really. I mean, yes, we have all sorts of technology and we live in a different kind of world than Moses did, you know, 3,500 years ago. But people don't change, and certainly God doesn't change. The core issues of life don't change. Sometimes people say, oh, we need to sort of adapt the faith for each new generation. But from generation to generation, God remains evermore the same. All right, let's get into the text. Let's pray first. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for never changing and for being our unshakable hope and rock and salvation. We do live in a changing world where ideas are changing and technology is advancing and people are thinking that they're getting brilliant new insights into things. And in the midst of all this, Father, we forget what the real issues of life are. We can think that the real issues of life are tied into COVID-19 or are tied into protesters and or rioters or the presidential election that's coming up or the NFL season that's about to start tomorrow or whatever. Father, remind us through Psalm 90 what the real issues of life are, that we might be grounded in that which is solid and true and faithful, namely you, Father. So speak to us through Psalm 90 this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Psalm 90 is, as I said, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to the dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Well, that is Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So, generation to generation, as I was saying before, the world changes, right? It looks like things are completely different. But the core issues of life never change. And Psalm 90 drives home those core issues of life. And they're grounded in who God is and in what our real central dilemma as human beings are, and then what the solution to that central dilemma that we have as human beings is. So, you know, people try to orient their lives around all sorts of things. Some people try to orient their lives around personal financial success or career advancement. Some people try to orient their lives around politics and the culture wars. Some people try to orient their lives around their sports teams and when they're in season. And boy, we had a rough stretch in 2020 when there were no sports for so long. I actually started watching marble racing. You know, I do love sports. I don't orient my life around it. But Psalm 90 is a call to these three core truths. Like, who is God? And what is the central problem, the central dilemma of human existence? And then what is the solution to that central dilemma of human existence? And if we can root and orient our lives around that, those truths, we will be stable and we will be secure in an ever-changing world. One of the things that our world loves to do these days is make you angry about whatever it is, whatever the flavor of the month of outrage is. We live in an outrage culture, and it comes from both left and right, and we need something better than that, don't we? So, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, the eternity of God. God is eternal. God is unshakable. God is our dwelling place, our refuge, as other psalms express it. He has been there from generation to generation. I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday. One of my hobbies is studying church history. And I was thrilled to relatively recently find a very strong family connection to an important time in American Presbyterian church history. And so we were talking about that. And, you know, this is my eighth great-grandfather, one of my eighth great-grandfathers, who was a really key instrumental guy in the founding and establishing of American Presbyterianism, which for me is pretty cool. But how many generations ago was that? And yet he worshiped the same God. I've read some of his sermons. I've read some of his writings. We serve the same God, and we worship him really in the same way. But that's also true going back to Moses. People are not that way, right? People are dust. And now I've got dust in the wind stuck in my head. People are dust. People are just flowers that flourish, and in the evening they wither. But God endures, unchanging on, right? O God, our help in ages past is a hymn that, if you're familiar with it, is drawn from Psalm 90. And it's full of these truths of the eternity of God. 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or but a watch in the night. So we look back on Moses and we say, oh, Moses, that was 3,500 years ago. And how many generations? And for God, it's like just a few days, like even half a week, you know. That's a simile, by the way, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. What I mean by that is it's figurative language. It's not literally God has a calculus up in heaven where 1,000 years equals one day. Some people try to play with numbers in the Bible like that. Don't do that. But what it's saying is that God is unaffected by time. He's eternal. That's what it means. From everlasting to everlasting, and 1,000 years are but as yesterday or as a watch in the night. Time is just nothing to God, because he's outside of it. He's eternal. He sees all things and he knows all things, and he is not waiting, nor is he, you know, tired. He's eternal. He's eternal. Now, why is it that people are so temporary? We need to ask that question. I'm 46 years old. And for some of you, that seems old. For some of you, that seems really young. But for me, it seems like I'm 46 years old. I mean, I know you've probably had this experience if you're over the age of 30 or whatever, but you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, wait a minute, how did I get like bagginess under my eyes and gray in my beard? And who's that middle-aged guy with looking back at me from the mirror? Like, how did I get here? Why is it that we think that's strange? We talk about how time flies. We talk about where did the years go. We talk as creatures who are meant to live forever and be eternal, but are trapped in time. We talk about time like it's a foreign thing. It's because it is, right? It's because all that's true. So why is it that we are so temporary? Why is it that we are returned to dust and swept away like a dream? Why is it that we fade and wither? Again, whenever you see the word for in the Bible, that's giving you a causal connection. It's because of our sin. It's because of our sin. For we are brought to an end by your anger. Verse 7. Verse 9. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Our sin is offensive to God. It is vile in his sight. It is not a light thing. It is not a small thing. It is not, you know, some people take this approach of, well, I sin and God forgives and that's his job. No, your job is to glorify and enjoy God. Your job is to be the image of God. Your job is to reflect God's likeness. And sin in our lives mars the likeness of God, dims that reflection of God, and shortens our lives. We are mortal because we are sinners. We are mortal because we are sinners. This is so different from the circle of life idea of the naturalist to say, well, this is just, death is a natural part of life. Death is not a natural part of life. That's dumb, okay? Saying death is a natural part of life is almost as dumb as saying darkness is a natural part of the light. But some people say that too. And all that's not true. God is eternal. God is light. God is righteous. God is unfading. God is unchanging. We die because we are sinners. And God's wrath is on us. God's anger is against our sin. And we need to take that seriously so that we know what the real issue is and where real hope can be found. The real issue is not that I am unfulfilled or unsatisfied or lonely or unhappy. That's not the real issue. The real issue is that I'm a sinner and I'm going to die because of my sin. And I'm going to face the God against whom I have sinned. So what's the solution? Verses 12 to 17 brings us to the solution. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We need to realize that life is short. I'll repent tomorrow. I'll repent next week. I'll come to Jesus when I'm good and ready. You don't know how many days you've been given. And even if you live out the full span of your life, what's 70 or 80 years? Or even if you live to be 90, what is that in the light of eternity? And you know how quickly it goes. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's step number one of the solution. We need to know how short life is so that we can be wise and focus on what matters. And what matters is eternity. Second, return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. We need God. We need God to turn to us and be gracious to us and show his favor to us. Satisfy us in the morning with your chesed, with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Are we unhappy? Absolutely. Are we lonely? Absolutely. Do we feel unfulfilled? Absolutely. But that's not the root of the problem. That's the fruit of the problem. The root of the problem is that we have a broken relationship with God, and we need God's steadfast love. We need God's pity. We need God's compassion. We need God's grace to satisfy us. satisfy us in the morning, not with self-fulfillment, not with a career, not with a sports team, not with food, not with coffee. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. That's what we look for. And you know what? God's going to more than answer that question, that prayer. That prayer there, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we've seen evil. God's going to more than answer that prayer, abundantly more, because eternity is forever. Life is short, life is hard, but eternity is forever, and it's coming. In the meantime, what? Okay, so this is the answer. The answer is, we need to number our days when we gain a heart of wisdom. We need God's pity and God's steadfast love. We need God to redeem and to give us joy in Himself. But while we are waiting for the coming of Christ and the entering into eternity, how do we live as those who are the people of God and yet sinners in a fallen world? This is the closing prayer of Psalm 90. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. We want God to show us what do we need to do. But notice we don't get to what do we need to do until we've come through everything else, until we've come through who is God, what is our problem, what does our sin mean, what does it cost us, how do we get pity and compassion and steadfast love from God. Only once we come through God and sin and the gospel, then do we come to what is the work that you have given us to do. But for you, if you're a believer, God has given you work to do. And we need to have Him show it to us so that we can do it and be faithful in it. And then His glorious power to our children. Our children inherit the blessing that we pass on through the work that we do. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's what we need God to do. The only way our lives here are going to be fruitful and meaningful and count for eternity is if God establishes that work. But the same God who has pity on us, the same God who satisfies us with His steadfast love, the same God who will indeed make us glad for many, many more days than the days that He has afflicted us, is the same God who will establish the work of our hands for His glory to count for eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for calling us to Yourself and cleansing us of our sin, and renewing us in our minds and hearts by Your Spirit, reminding us of the truth. You're so good. And oh, how we need You. Satisfy us with Your steadfast love. Give us joy in the work that You give us to do, and establish the work of our hands today. Today, this day, would You show us what You're calling us to do, and would You establish it in Your purposes, for Your glory, for eternity? We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much again for joining me for these times in the Psalms. I hope they're as encouraging to you as they are to me. If you get 1/4 out of this, what I get out of doing it, then I know it's a blessing to you. And so I thank you for joining together in God's Word. Friday morning we'll be in Psalm 91, a wonderful psalm of God's protection for His own, and also another wonderful psalm of Christ. So join us on Friday morning for Psalm 91.